Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the High Arctic quarterly results Q2 conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Cam Bailey. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the High Arctic second quarter conference call. Today, I'll be providing an update on the press release we issued yesterday, Thursday, August 9th, 2018, and following my remarks, Jim Hodgson, our Chief Financial Officer, will be discussing the financial performance for the period. After our formal comments, we will open the floor to a question period. Before I begin, I'd like to remind you that certain information presented today may include forward-looking statements, and such statements reflect High Arctic's current expectations, estimates, projections, and assumptions. These forward-looking statements are not guarantees of future performance, and they are subject to certain risks, which could cause actual performance and financial results to vary materially from those contemplated in the forward-looking statements. For additional information on these risks, please take a look at our annual information form under the heading Risk Factors. I'm very pleased to report another very positive second quarter result for the corporation, despite challenging operating challenges caused by the earthquake in Papua New Guinea and the seasonal spring breakup in Canada. The long-protracted negotiations with OSL regarding the technical services agreement for the operations of Rig 103 and 104 was announced yesterday and provides additional three-year term and a two-year option period. The agreement provides for pricing increases throughout the term and including the two-year option periods. Thankfully, this removes any of the uncertainty of our ongoing operations in PNG, setting us up to assist with the increased activity in coming years to establish supply for the proposed LNG expansions. During the first quarter, Total, ExxonMobil, and partners announced their plans to expand the LNG facility with the addition of three LNG trains. Planning for the key infrastructure and takeaway capacity will result in additional drilling and development, which is well underway. Earlier in the week, the Prime Minister of PNG has indicated that the final FEED will be announced prior to year-end 2018 regarding the expansion of the PNG LNG, which proposes to add three additional trains over and above the two that are currently installed. The recent drilling activity by OSL and Santos have indicated success of the Barakiwa well, which is an extension to the Kimu gas reservoir, adding to potential reserves to be served by one of the three trains of the PNG LNG expansion proposal. The earthquake that occurred in PNG delayed some of the 2018 planned activities. It affected our operations. However, our contract terms contemplate those kind of tragedies, and thankfully, there's very little bottom line to our financial performance. Revenue was affected due to lower activity levels and contracts moving from an active to a suspended or force majeure state, and the impact of which was reducing operating costs, operating rate offset by near equal and corresponding decrease in operating costs. So revenues have moved down, but our EBITDA has remained relatively flat. While EBITDA is down from last year, it's still strong, allowing us to maintain a strong balance sheet and healthy dividends with modest payout ratio that's less than our target of 30%. A large part of our strong financial result came from Canada this quarter. Our goal to diversify our revenue source is evolving, where Canada still represents approximately 50% of our revenue. Concord Well Servicing continues to perform above expectation with utilization in the second quarter 53% compared to an industry utilization of 30%. This was taking place during spring breakup. Approximately 95% of our well service businesses derive from oil well activity, and the higher oil price environments allow operators to increase activity on oil well activations. Increases in service prices continues to remain difficult as overall industry equipment surpluses exist. Crewing remains a continual challenge in the industry as wage rates have simply just not kept pace with other industries. Our high utilization providing steady and consistent work has been a key to our competitive advantage in our operations. Our cash balances continue to build and allowing us to review opportunities to grow organically and pursue complementary acquisitions.
the low gas price environment and has and the negative effect it has on our stubbing operations has has us reviewing opportunities to move stubbing and high pressure services to the United States where prices remain and activities remain much more robust. With that, I'm going to turn the call over to Jim to discuss our financial results in more detail.
Thanks, Cam. Strong performance of our production services segment helped to offset the lower activity in our Papua New Guinea operations, resulting in a consolidated revenue of $47.1 million in the quarter, which generated $13.9 million in adjusted EBITDA. This compares to $51.1 million and $14.3 million in revenue and adjusted EBITDA, respectively, for the second quarter of 2017, which was benefiting from higher contracted revenue and activity in our Papua New Guinea drilling operations. For the first half of 2018, High Arctic generated $100 million in revenue and adjusted EBITDA of $27.6 million versus $115.9 million and $35 million, respectively, in 2017. Revenue in the production services division increased 7% to $18 million from $16.8 million in the second quarter of 2017. This increase was driven by increased activity following a relatively short spring breakup and high equipment utilization rates. The Concord rigs generated $16.5 million in revenue during the quarter on 27,420 operating hours with an average revenue per hour of about $600. Our 57 registered Concord service rigs achieved a 53% utilization in the quarter versus 30% utilization generated by the CAODC registered rigs. Operating margins as a percentage of revenue increased to 18% in the quarter from 14% in the same period of 2017. This increase was due to greater economies of scale and reduced support costs. In the first half year of 2018, our production services segment generated $41.3 million in revenue versus $39.3 million in 2017. From this increase in revenue, the production services division was able to generate $7.4 million in operating margin, which is a 19% increase from the $6.2 million generated in 2017. 2018, the 57 registered Concord service rigs experienced a 58% utilization on 59,604 operating hours for the year. Revenue for our drilling services segment declined to $23.2 million in the quarter from $28.3 million in the second quarter of 2017, which benefited from higher drilling activity and contributions from the contracted revenue for Rig 115, which expired in June of that year. Rig 103 was active on its drilling assignment in Barrakia during the quarter. Rig 104 remained warm stacked in Marouk with maintenance activities continuing in preparation for its next drilling assignment. Rig 115 was actively drilling during the quarter until it began mobilizing back to Port of Moresby on June 12th. However, revenue generation was lower than 2017 when Rig 115 was earning higher rate contract revenue. Rig 116 was stacked in Port Moresby during the quarter, continuing to generate its contracted take-or-pay revenue. Rig 405 was under force majeure after the first quarter earthquake and mobilized back to the port during the quarter. While activity was lower in the quarter, the contribution from the take-or-pay contract on Rig 116 allowed the drilling services division to generate $10.6 million in operating margin. As a percentage of revenue, operating margin increased to 46% in the quarter from 43% in the second quarter of 2017. This increase was driven by an increased proportion of revenue from Rig 116 versus Rigs 103 and 104 during the quarter, which incur lease expense charges but are not incurred on High Arctic's owned rigs. The drilling services segment generated $46.7 million in revenue and $19.6 million in operating margin in the first half of 2018 versus $62.6 million and $27.9 million respectively in 2017. Revenue for the ancillary services segment was constant at $6.8 million in the second quarter of both 2018 and 2017. This is driven by similar activity levels year over year. Operating margin as a percentage of revenue increased to 66% from 60% in the second quarter of 2017, due to higher contribution from the corporation's PNG rental operations in the quarter. For the first half of 2018, the ancillary services segment generated $14.6 million in revenue and $9.4 million in operating margin versus 15.6 and 10.1 million respectively in 2017. General and administration costs increased slightly to $4.5 million in the quarter from $4.4 million in the second quarter of 2017, primarily due to an increase in Papua New Guinea general admin costs driven by increases in hardware costs and increased professional legal fees. As a result of increased depreciation and income tax expense, adjusted net earnings declined to $2.4 million or 4 cents a share from $5 million and 9 cents a share in the second quarter of 2017. For the first half of 2018, adjusted net earnings were $6.8 million or 13 cents per share versus $14 million or 26 cents a share in 2017. As Cam mentioned, we continue to maintain a strong balance sheet and exited the quarter with $28.1 million in cash, no amounts outstanding on our debt facilities, and positive working capital balance of $59.9 million. So with that, let me turn things back over to Cam.
Okay, thank you, Jim. The announcement of our technical services agreement renewal for the additional 3 years and the extension, it provides us with much more certainty in our international operations for the next 5 years. I mean, Total, ExxonMobil, and partners have confirmed their commitment to work through the joint venture expansion for the PNG LNG facilities. The recent drilling success is building on the prior successes, the strong demand for LNG markets. It really sets High Arctic up for significant growth opportunities within the region. Our Canadian division, its exposure to oil, strong customer base, ability to attract personnel from steady work, allowing us to grow in a very difficult and challenging market. You know, we've been addressing our underutilized equipment in our pressure services offering in Canada, and the third quarter we'll be moving equipment into the United States where the demand for high pressure equipment is increasing, and it will allow us to deploy some well servicing equipment as a complementary service as well. We continue to review opportunities to grow our business operations both in Canada and international. And that concludes my comments, and I'd like to turn the conference over to the operator, who will open the line for questions.
Thank you. We'll now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel the question, you may press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time. If you have a question, there will be a brief pause while the participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Elias Foscolos. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, Elias.
I've got a couple questions surrounding the rig 115 and 116 on sort of a go-forward basis. Any plans or any visibility for those rigs to be working?
So, Elias, what we have confidence in is increased activity as a result of trying to establish, you know, further reserves and appraisal work around the discoveries that have been had to date. And we see that ramping up in the later part of 2019 into 2020 and 2021 with an expected date of productivity into 2022. So what you know, our experience in the 2014 when the plant came on stream at that time, we had, you know, continual activity, you know, ramping up right through the 2014 period. So it's we don't have, you know, complete visibility into the plans of ExxonMobil and OSL. However, there is, you know, continual discussion about the utilization of all of our equipment in Papua New Guinea, and talk of trying to improve the spec of potentially one of the rigs, so moving from 1,500 horsepower to potentially 2,000 horsepower.
Okay. For, you know, I guess are my planning purposes. Do you think it would be fair to say, looking into 2019, between rig 103 and 104, you would have the equivalent of 1.5 rigs working? I don't know. I'm just looking at some sort of anchor point potentially.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I think that, you know, this year we've got, I think it's safe to say we probably had closer to 2.5 rigs that, in terms of utilization of those 2.5. And this third and fourth quarter will probably be some of the slowest quarters that we'll experience. And, again, part of that is a consequence of the earthquake. So 2019, you know, we expect to see quite a bit more utilization and get back to that more 2.5 rig activity. But it's still early days, unfortunately, and line of sight to see that with respect to OSL and ExxonMobil Total has just helped provide us with great clarity.
Okay. I think that's it for questions for me. I'll turn it back to others.
Thank you, Les.
Thank you. As a reminder, you may press star one if you have a question. The next question is from Michael Robertson. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Michael.
Your utilization levels for the well servicing segment seem to be consistently and materially above industry levels. Is that being driven by having more desirable rigs, or are you really competitive on pricing? Because it just seems too wide a delta to be explained solely by service proficiency.
That's a good observation. So we do have we operate in Cold Lake on behalf of Imperial, and Cold Lake is an area that has a lot of service intensity related to it, and the relationship with Imperial goes back 30 years with the company, and we have rigs that are specifically configured to work within that you know the thermal activity that exists within Cold Lake, and then we also have roadways that can be accessed year round, even through spring breakup. So that operation, you know, to a large degree underpins a lot of our high utilization in the industry.
That's helpful. Thank you. You highlighted a pretty significant amount of shares repurchased and canceled through the NCIB in the quarter. At these sort of price levels, should we expect that to be par for the course moving forward?
I'll let Jim answer that question.
We continue to look at that, and we'll continue to look at it and the impact that it does have on share price. As you say, during the quarter, we did purchase and cancel 1.3 million shares for a total of $5.3 million under our NCIB. The existing NCIB expires September 18th, and the management and the board will take a look at that and decide how we're going to move forward from there.
Okay. Switching gears to PNG for a moment, for rig 115, what kind of maintenance activities is it undergoing, and when could it be back in the field, assuming those wrap up?
Yeah, the field activity is really dependent on not so much the maintenance activity, but it's come off of its job that it was on and doesn't have a current location to move back on. We expect that to take place in the first quarter of 2019.
Okay, and like the maintenance activity is sort of just, you know, regular items?
Just ongoing, as it described.
Okay. For rig 116, would it need any work to get back out into the field outside of just the sort of normal maintenance stuff that you described?
No, it's we keep the rig actually stacked at Port Moresby, and it undergoes continual startup and, you know, ensuring that it is capable of working at moment's notice. So we're quite diligent in ensuring that the rig is well maintained and ready to move at any time.
All right, well, that's great. Thanks for the extra color, guys. I'll turn it back.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you, Donna, for the questions registered. At this time, I would like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Bailey.
If there's no further calls, we'd like to thank you for participation in our call this morning and look forward to speaking to you in the future. And any additional calls that you or questions that you may have, feel free to reach out to both Jim and myself for further clarity. Thank you.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and thank you for your participation.